Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Modern Day Achievers Life Success Radio. We are sponsored by Reality Books Publication of the Publishers, Reality Books Publishers of the American Classic, Booker T. Washington and the Black Revolution. We are honored to be a leading voice in the movement to empower African-American youth and young adults with the wisdom of our historical leaders, living and deceased. I am Haleem the Dream Builder, Doctor of Self-Esteem, your host and moderator and founder of this movement known as the Modern Day Achievers, Z as in Zebra Generation. We have a global plan of emancipation to free the minds and hearts of our K-12 youth and college students and those few adults who still have the mental capacity to see and recognize change. Before continuing, I ask you to join me in prayer, and I'll say it aloud in Arabic and English. You can say it silently or just say words of encouragement in your spirit, and I'll receive it. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Alhamdulillahir rabbil alamin. Ar-rahmanir rahim. Maliki yawmiddin. Iyyaka na'budu wa iyyaka nasta'in. Ihdina siratal mustaqim. Sarato lazina alam ta'alehim gaid ramah du bi alahim dolin me. In English, I seek refuge with God from the accursed devil Satan. With the name of God, most gracious, most merciful, master of the day of judgment. In thee alone do we worship and thy aid do we seek. Show us the straight way, the way on those who thou hast bestowed thy grace, those whose portion is not wrath and who go not astray. Amen. Now, I'm going to give you another introduction of myself, which I am a inspirational speaker of the most unique kind. So here goes that in summary. I am, as I mentioned, Haleem, the Dream Builder, Doctor of Self-Esteem. I am Master Inspirational Success Teacher. I am the world's greatest inspirational success teacher since Napoleon Hill, author of America's greatest novel called Think and Grow Rich. In any event, as we go through today, I want to give you a summation, is that I must advise you, we have a public disclaimer for you to be aware of. Now, this is not intended to put anyone on the spot, but I want you to know what we present here is very serious. So don't come in any joking manner thinking that this is nothing that is not, what you might say, intellectual and mental and spiritual participation. Right now, we're just doing monologues, but we'll be having live interviews and discussions to the streets all across this country for those who participate. So let me say again, no fun intended. This broadcast and ensuing conversations are real and serious. So we warn everyone who tunes in to know that I, as a visionary founder and director, will speak truth, the whole truth and nothing but the truth, to help me God. Because we must save our youth from falling victim to the subtleties of racism, white supremacy. In defining racism, white supremacy, I take a page from the Honorable Dr. Francis Kress Welsing, who developed the Kress theory on ending racism and white supremacy. Now, what it is, she says, and I quote her as saying this, that, well, this is my part here. Race and white supremacy affects blacks in America and all over the world. That's a fact. But in terms of her definition of racism, white supremacy, she says, it is a global system of behavior organized by those who consider themselves being white. Now, I won't go into detail, but in terms of just being white, that's not a race. That's like something like saying a color, white, like a color black. That's not a culture. That's actually something that is outside of culture that people have started to have just kind of from the over reuse of this have made it look like is like right and black is like evil. But that's not the case. So we should really be culturally distinguished in either African-American or African or people would say people from the Kush land or Kemetic land or whatever in terms of a cultural connection. And then you might want to do the same thing with white people who call themselves white as being from the Caucasoid Mountains, the caves in Europe that where they would like, you know, living like animals, eating raw meat and stuff like that. So that's the reality. So, you know, we should go there. We should take away these terms, black and white. But I further my explanations with this fact, noting that anyone who see or believe themselves to be white, i.e., and this could be people like who are black or Negroes in America or black Africans on the continent of Africa or Hispanics in America, Mexico and Spain, Italians, domestically and abroad, Koreans, Indians from India, Pakistan, the Israelis, etc., Hebrews, etc. So basically, is that anyone who sees themselves as being like a privileged culture and they think of themselves as white in terms of white supremacy in ruling the little black people, as they kind of have these thinking in their minds that black people are the devils of the planet, but that's not true. We are not the devils. The devils are those who have the power and exercise it unfairly. That's a behavior. And we cannot be the devil, not in a total, total sense. You know, we have devils amongst ourselves. And we have to recognize those are the people who selling the drugs and doing those other things and killing folks and, you know, just causing havoc and chaos in our community. But the devils are those who got the power who can set up the systems of repression that perpetuate the evil plan of the devil against man, right? So I won't go too deep tonight. I'll just kind of be surface. But trust me, I know exactly what I'm telling you. But open your ears and pay attention. Okay, so the point is that we're going to go here a little bit more here in my monologue is that I want to say that we are hoping from what you hear today here, we want to know the question is that whose job is it to save black youth and other classified minorities who themselves are classified as minorities, but they're really not a minority because they're really a majority if you look at the the facts of the cultural growth of these particular groups of people, and you're talking about, say, those folks, like, I guess you assume that I'm an African American, and that's a fact, but I have another dimension to share with you on that later. But okay, it looks like 40 million of us, and for those Hispanics or La Razas, my brother La Razas, freedom fighters, they are like say about maybe 45, maybe 50 million. And of course, we have the other numbers that include a mix of different ethnic groups, Asians, and you know, you have Europeans, and you have Indians, and so forth, that are making a large percentage of the other left percent. And then you have those who consider themselves white as being in there. So there's not any dominance of any white, quote-unquote, white people of this country. It's just a perception. Because most people, in terms of understanding the significance of growing from the Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve, but Adam and Eve, the natural way of life, is that that people have a lot of melanin in them, because that's just a fact. If you look at history, you had so many different evidences that the black people were here before anyone else was here, unless you have another plan where you said, no, black wasn't here, there were white blacks, and that's a lie. Okay, let's tell the truth about things. Now, I remember Richard Pryor. I remember this very distinctively. He had been given a contract with NBC Channel 4, national, and his very first show, he did an exploratory scenario of going to Africa and going into the pyramids. And Richard Pryor went into this tomb, and he just came all excited when he says, hey, they were black! The mummies were black! They were black! And then CBS or whatever, that NBC, they snatched his program from him. They snatched it from him in one night performance. And Richard Pryor never performed again on TV. All right? That was shocking. All right, so in any event, what the point is that, see, when we tell the truth, we get penalized for telling the truth. And when we tell a lie, we get rewarded for telling lies. Now, that's an oxymoron if I ever heard one. And it makes us morons who practice that behavior. So we want to reward our children with good rewards for good behavior, and don't reward them for bad behavior, because that gives the wrong impression to the young person who's being rewarded and those who are observing. You know, so there's examples that we can give on that, and you probably can think of some yourself. Like, for example, you have a lot of the bad guys thugged at school. And I'm talking thugs across the board of certain behaviors, and they're not necessarily a-specific in culture, but in general a behavior of this thug life. So you might see them walk around with their pants hanging off their butts, and you might say that's all them N-I-G-G-A and then the letter S, but, you know, I didn't say it in one sequence, but I'm saying to you, people would make that assessment or discernment of analyzing, oh, them just the NIGs. I say it for short, NIGs. But you have not only NIGs under what they are perceiving, but you also have WIGAs as well. And WIGAs are what? White kids who want to be like black. And so they call themselves WIGAs. And they kind of act cool, and they kind of, you know, cut class, and they kind of smoke weed and drink alcohol and start fights and pull out guns and everything else. But you never hear about the WIGAs. You always hear about those who they say are the NIGs. So we got to be fair about everything. If we're going to call a spade, let's call a spade across the board, and not make a spade when you say, well, you know, this spade right here is a diamond because they're not black like you guys, so we're going to let them get a pass. Can't do that. That's not America. So here goes a couple of things that happened to me. I just want to really, you know, talk to you and let you know how I perceive racism, and also how I perceive forgiveness. Now, I guess I might say forgiveness first. I think forgiveness is really one of the most important things that you ever, ever could do in your life, is learn to forgive people for the wrong that they do against you, knowing that they may not recognize the wrong they've done, but you have to be the higher, what you call the higher spirit or the higher human being that says, listen, I'm sorry for what I may have caused you to do to me by, you know, keeping my guard down and trusting you too much. Now, that's an explanation, but you may not have to say it. You may not have to say all that. You might say, well, listen, I'm asking you, can you forgive me for what I felt about you? All right. Now, you can leave it at that point, and then, of course, the conversation can ensue where people say, okay, well, what are we talking about? And just tell them the truth. You know, hey, you stole something. You stole my girlfriend from me, or, you know, you stole my baseball when I was a little kid, or, you know, you took my candy bar when I was a little kid, and you know, I want to kill you with my candy bar, but, you know, I grew up and I took that and asked God to help me with that. So what I'm saying to you is that we have to find all kind of ways to forgive. Now, I was here at this business location where I won't tell you name because I'm not looking to give anybody any free advertisement. Free advertisement does not work in my world, because if I'd done that, my sponsors would get upset and I would get upset, you know, because we're giving other people credit for some presents that they haven't even put an investment into. Okay, so here's the deal. I was here and I went and asked a question to a group of Koreans. I didn't know they were Koreans. I thought they were Chinese. And I was attempting to make a conversation from a Chinese reading of Cantonese or Mongolian or, you know, okay, so anyway, I said to them in the language, and then I said, may I ask you a question? And immediately one of the men got defensive and says, we don't have no money. I says, look at this. I'm dressed up looking better than this fool, and he's selling me like he think I'm homeless. And I said, I'm not asking you for no money. I said, can I ask you a question? And I was going to present the question, but you kind of like stepped in a pile of doo-doo. But let me see if we can clean it up. Okay, I was merely asking you, how would you say in your language, let's get serious and have a conversation. That was really what my whole intention was. So he made an assumption because he got white privileged skin, so he thinks that because he's a white skin color, Korean, right, from not north like Kim Jong-un, but from South Korea. And so they feel just like a lot of, you know, so-called, quote, white people feel about being superior over people who are darker than hue, darker than black, darker than the night, darker than the shadows. So so what happened? I said, listen, I just want to ask you, could you give me spelling in your language which says get serious, let's get serious and have a serious conversation? So eventually, and I'm going to say this respectfully, the stupid fool recognized what I was saying. So he extended to me the words that I wrote down. And let me see if I find it here. I'm looking for it right now. So the words that he told me from his language was, as I mentioned to you, Korean, and it's like ta awa hip sha. So in Korean, which is Southern Korean, is ta awa hip sha, which means let's get serious and have a conversation. And that's important. Everything is serious in this life. Don't think that because, you know, you wake up and see everything chirping, the birds chirping and the bees flying around into the little flowers to pollinate, and you might see the little puppy running around learning how to gnaw on whatever wood or a bird's leg or your leg or whatever. That's preparation for the growth of that into a full creature. Well, that it actually has these built-in defense mechanisms. All right, so a little kitten, for example, if you corner a little kitten in the corner, and the kitten really is helpless, but you keep pressing it, it will knock it out of you. It will slap fire from you. It will slap fire from you, a little kitten. So I've learned, don't disrespect anything. because everything has a defense mechanism, and you can only push them so far. So what I'm saying to you and those who are listening, both black people and white people, a specifically, quote, quote, is that we got to figure out how we're going to have peace together, or we're going to end up fighting war against each other, and that's not a good thing. Because this country was built on principles that I believe in strongly, that all man and woman were created equal. I believe that with my heart. Now, the difference who are evil intent, they say that black people were like only 3/10 or 4/5 human being, right? I think it was 4/5 or 3/5 with the last two missing, which, you know, I won't get into detail right now, but they said that we were like 3/5 human being. And, you know, some people equate that to saying we are. It took two people to make one vote, basically. It took two of us who were like the slaves in America to make up one vote of a white man, and that became the basis of the 3/5 making it known that, you know, we're 3/5 human. But I've asked you a question. If we're 3/5 human, why in the God-given earth 3/5 in 3/5 human? That means we're not all human in your eyes, and you rape our women. You must be an animal in disguise or a devil in disguise. But I know you're not human to want to rape an animal. So is that why you do obesity in your culture? Is that why you go and have sex with the sheep and the chickens? Man, what time are you in, man? I don't understand that one, man. God made a woman for a man and a man for a woman, and that is heaven on earth, if you got any sense at all. But when you start having sex with a chicken and a sheep, you got to go to sleep, man. You should go to sleep and never wake up. Do us a favor and get off this planet Earth and go somewhere else. Anyway, let me go further. So under the language of saying, let's get serious and have a conversation, we got it in Korean, which I share with you, which is ta-awa hipsha. In French is kinons une conversation sérieuse, right? In Arabic is ta lu nataka bijid, right? That's Arabic. And in Portuguese, it's vamos ficar serious e terra conversa. Now, also I have it here in Israeli, or in Israel, is boa nasa siha. And I want to say a little story on this one, because I've really been really making an effort to find a way to find some white people to work with me, especially those who are under 30. So I was at this location, and I was having a conversation with these two youngsters. One was like an 18-year-old girl, and the guy was like 21. And he's from Israeli, and he wants to be a military guy. And I said, you're the first Israeli that I ever met in my lifetime. I hear a lot in the media about you guys, but I haven't met any. I said, can we have a conversation? Can we get serious and have a conversation? And so he said, yeah, sit down, sit down. Now, I want to talk about the Palestine issue, because I don't understand how the Israelis come in and take away the land of the Palestinians and, I mean, just like put them in jail for no reason. And to me, I was making a correlation of black people here in America, how we was stolen from my land, first of all. And then when we got over here and freedom came, any of us that had land that maybe had been given to us by the slave masters, who actually were being kind and giving us that 40 acres and a mule that never really happened in a totality, people would take back land that they had given to us and take back their what was given as their word of honor, that they would free us. And then so there's been a bunch of liars way back from the American fathers. And I think that we have to, I can't say this in a total way, but I'm going to say, Mr. George Washington, you may have something to do with that one, because you says you lied about cutting down a cherry tree. Well, you didn't lie about it, but one or the other, you told a lie somewhere, sir. I know you did, because he said, I can't tell a lie. I cut the cherry tree down. But you probably cut down more than that cherry tree, and you just kind of were trying to put that on the side. hoping that we wouldn't see that you cut down the grapefruit tree and you cut down the lemon tree, you cut down the other trees. You just were a fool, and we want to say it straight. I don't mind telling you the truth. See, we have to be honest about everything. We all are not perfect. But when you think that your imperfection doesn't stink when you go to the bathroom, you are a sick person who thinks that. Because every waste that comes from the body, the odor of gas proceeds to flush out the waste. So I'm saying to you, and I'm saying this respectfully as I can, white people, would you please stop telling the lie that you are superior to other human beings? You would be sharing instead of taking from people their lands, from the Indians, for example, their lands from, say, the reservations of the past and what you did with the Indians and the Trail of Tears in Oklahoma and in Florida, Seminoles and all this kind of stuff. So history is bearing witness that you have not been a good citizen on earth. And eventually God is going to punish the bad citizens on earth, just like he punished what was the recent storms here in Houston. And then also there are storms all on the East Coast. And I'm hearing some news. There's some storms that hit Puerto Rico pretty bad, too. So I'm just telling you guys, whoever you are and your spirit is bad, stay away from me. Because I don't want to be around you because you have a bad karma. And your karma is going to bring your sin on me. And that's why they say the sins of the fathers will visit the generations in the future. So, America, let me just say this to you. And as best I can say, you have not been the best example of leadership in this world, especially not for us here in this country, coming from being so-called slaves under your system. You've done a very good job in making us dependent on you, and we're ready to break the string, so I'm going to give you a forewarning that no longer will we be buying bread from your store. We're going to have our own stores like the Nation of Islam had started, with the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. And we're going to do our own thing in terms of having auto mechanics, and we're going to build our own hospitals, and we're going to build our own schools, we're going to build our own communities, and we'll hire you at some point, but you won't be running things. Don't get that like you're going to run everything. No, you're going to run anything. You'll run yourself right into hell. And I'm praying to God that God don't let you be around any of the good people when you go to hell. You know, let the earthquake or the volcano take you under and let you be gone, just like the time of the Pharaoh, right? The times of Moses' time, the time of, of the times when in Abraham's time, with the time of Lot, you know? We have to look at history as not something it's just a soap opera. No, it's not a soap opera. It's a reality. You just have to open up your stupid mind and see the truth. Now, I'm going to say this. Stupid minds are those people who watch all these soap opera shows and the ones who are really addressing all this this confusion about relationships, who's having sex with who, who's having sex with who, whose baby is that one, whose baby is this one. Listen, that's gossip. Why do we want to make gossip of a front page news? Why do we want to make gossip of front page news? And every time that when we have the shows, black people as the victim, it shows some wiggers as well as victims, and wiggers are white. White wannabes. And I got that one from watching the movie they had with this wannabe tribe. That was some of this movie they had, this really good animation, and they had these wannabe tribe, and so they were, to me, that's like the wannabes. And they had the wannabes, unfortunately, looking like black people, but in the cartoon, but with colored skin. And I wish I could come up with the name again, but it's something. Anyway, that's fine. But what I'm saying here is that we as a people, as a society, need to hold everybody accountable. So things that we are about helping children, we have to show them that we are accountable ourselves And we have to demonstrate that we can do it, and doing it, then they can see it as opposed to hearing you talk about it and they really don't see you do it. All right. Did you understand that one? That's not an oxymoron. That's an oxy-truth for you morons who don't understand, right? So you can keep talking to young people about, like, okay, I want you to do what I say. But they say, I want to do what you do. I want to be like you, Mommy. I want to do like you, Daddy. But Daddy, he said, I'm an alcoholic. But he's not telling them that. He's nipping it on the side and getting drunk and then going to church. Oh, now, wow, you just started. Okay, now, okay, fine. Let me step into this one now. Okay, we got ministers today in the church. And I'm telling you what I've experienced. I'm not being disrespectful, but whenever they found out that I was a Muslim, they would always trip, like saying, well, we can't work with you because you're a Muslim. I said, well, what does that mean? I mean, I'm a human being, and we have the same experience. We're black in the community. We're black in the community of poverty and stuff, and if we don't work together, how are we ever going to raise up? But they still so ignorant, they make a distinction that Muslim is like an evil enemy, and it's not. Being a Muslim is only being a servant in the natural order of your character that God put in you from birth. So, for example, that name Muslim, it actually ties to the idea of the stars being Muslim, you know, a natural condition. Okay, like the moon is Muslim, right? Like your hair is Muslim if you hadn't straightened it, though. So if your hair is like kinky, don't you, nasty, that's what God made you, and that's Muslim hair. Enjoy that. Now, if your hair is like straight and it's like, and then you start putting some Jerry Curl in your hair because you want to look like black people, then that's kind of like, that's not good. So be who you are. That's the bottom line. Don't try to be somebody else, right? And that's what we're teaching young people today, to love somebody else instead of loving themselves. Now, how I'm going to love you, and I don't know, I love myself first. I'm going to love white people, and I'm not being cynical or racist. I'm saying the media makes everything white right and everything black bad. And that's a part of what I mentioned in my opening monologue, that what Dr. Francis Quest Walsing was addressing in the idea of defining racism as a institutionalized behavior that is working on, you know, eliminating any melanin that could destroy them in the long goal over years, because anytime a melanated person has sex with a non-melanated person, the baby becomes melanated. And that melanated is never, ever Caucasian on the Caucasoid Mountain. That just wasn't the blessing that gave you all. But still, you can tan all you want, and you won't get the full impact of the melanin, which comes from the earth naturally, and it comes in black people and other people of ethnic hue that you might look at that might look like white, but they actually are black in terms of having the melanin count in them. So be careful. Don't judge people. You know, just analyze people as human beings and pray to God that you got enough melanin in use where you still be around in another 50 years. So the way it goes, that sun's going to start burning your butt up. I'm telling you the truth. This is not me talking like no bull. This is just a fact that you're going to have to heal yourself from your own disease, and you're going to have to do a resurrection with a new revelation or a new direction using our story, not your story of history. Because your story of history is really whitewashed. And it's so whitewashed that you yourself, you know you're not that clean. But you whitewash it to the point and you dominate the media and you put in all the books and you burn the books in Africa. One of your flunkies by the name of Alexander the whoever, you call him the great, but I don't call him great. If any man burned the library books, he must be crazy. So I'm gonna say Alexander the crazy. That fits better, right? So we're talking that you must correct this imbalance that you've caused on this planet Earth. If not, we're gonna have a pro crash. A pro crash means the nation is gonna crash with God's revelation, which is a revealing the truth. And the pro crash we'll call a pro cash the nation, which will leave us without any a human to exploit. So the pro cash that you've been like getting from free labor or lower wages, like people who work at these little small jobs that are really not a career pathway, they definitely are on that pro crash, pro cash, not pro crash with an R, but pro cash without any money to sustain themselves. And so they'll start being the homeless people in the future. And maybe you might be homeless as well at some point. And then the combination is that then we'll have to get a new cast of leaders for this country, and it's not going to be those people who had their chance and blew it by not demonstrating they had an intellectual balance and common sense to work with people where they are as human beings and not try to change their thinking to be like you, white people on steroids, right? Giving all this tanning, doing all this other fictitious things to make yourself seem like you are the king of the universe, right? But let me just go a little further here. So some of the things that we're doing with the Modern Day Achievers is that we have a Stop the Violence campaign, and we want to assist in the efforts of putting the message out there. I need some help from you, those who are listening. Now, if you have any resource money that you are looking to throw away or go drinking at the bar and club, and you think maybe you'll give us like something that we could utilize to build up our coffers to be able to serve with these young people. And let me say that a different way. Okay, let me say that a different way. For example, we're looking for, say, if you have an agency or somebody you know that has an endowment that wants to do something to help this world be a better place, like we ask that you contact me, Haleem. I'm Dr. actually Haleem Mustafa, Dr. Haleem Mustafa. And you could reach me at phone numbers. Get your pen ready. Okay, phone number to reach me is area code 650-921-5131. I'll repeat that one, 650-921-5131. And there's another number, same area code, and that number will be 630-0063. I repeat, 650-630-0063. And we have email that you can email, and you could ask me a question, and I'll meet you face-to-face in person, no problem, okay? And that number, that email will be doctor with no period, that's D-R, no period, Sam, common spelling with S-A-M, and well, W-E-L-L, at gmail.com. So that'd be Dr. Sam Well at gmail.com. Now, what I was looking here, I want to share with you in terms of we're hoping that you will have the understanding that we have to support those organizations that are carrying out the work and doing the job. Now, if we want change, we know that nothing happens overnight. And nothing happens without financial resources. So this is a message from me to you, and I pray to God you can receive it. So on behalf of the youth and students, I seek people like yourselves or those whom you know who can afford to give seed funds to continue the efforts of the Modern Day Achievers, in which right now, it's a volunteer organization. We've been doing quite well in organizing youth leadership. And certainly myself, I'm a living testimony that that you can work yourself into a hole being a volunteer. And I was a volunteer for so long that my wife told me, you must just be getting paid from God because you never bring home no check. Now, I tell you, I'd be a little extreme on that, but yeah, basically, I've been really committed to God's service to humanity, and God rewards that service. So We ask you to contact me again at my email, which is drsamwell@gmail.com. That's D-R, no period, Sam, common spelling, and then well, W-E-L-L, at gmail.com. And I want to take a note since I'm doing this, to note that I have this show that's going on right now that happens on Monday, and it happens on Wednesday at 6 p.m. Central Standard Time, which is 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and I guess that would be 4 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. So please tell your friends that there is a really a strong movement of helping young people become modern-day achievers so they can help America reach this goal to be a country that actually understands that we all are equal and no one is superior to the other, unless, of course, you are a devil, and then God makes that distinction to determine who gets the reward for being good. Now, there is also on Saturday evening at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, I work as a co-host along with the host and moderator, the senior great-grandson of Dr. Booker T. Washington, and I call him the professor, and the professor is Marshall Cavendish Washington Musa Muslim Abui, and he is the senior great-grandson of the serious leader for social reform, his great-grandfather, Dr. Booker T. Washington. So you should call this number on Saturdays. The number is 657 area code 383-0671. I repeat, 657-383-0671. Very, and so you will chime in and you could listen or you can speak and have a conversation. But you can't drink any alcohol in your own house talking on the phone with us because we are some very, very knowledgeable people. And I'm a former cop, and I know if you've been drinking alcohol, when I hear you start slurring and not even understanding, you become discombobulated. And then I said, you should hang up the phone and keep from embarrassing yourself because the whole world's listening to you on the Internet. So don't come on the drunk and don't drink an alcohol or beverage. Just do like we do. Drink some water or drink some, what you might say, imagine that you actually have a cup of a hot chocolate or a coffee and just drink that. Or if you can afford a cup of coffee or something like that, drink that. And I know it's a serious time right now that we're in, and we cannot let anyone who is the president of the country, whether it's George Bush, excuse me, let me go back further, whether it's George Clinton, not George Clinton, President Clinton, he almost sounded like George Clinton, didn't he, when he played that saxophone? Wow, but George Clinton played the guitar, but the president, Clinton, Bill Clinton, has some soul in him. So I think he was a black president. I'm just going to say that one for the record. But he said, Bill Clinton, he stood strong, and he did the best he could. And people chastised him and criticized him for his not being honest about Monica Lewinsky. And that's a fact. President, please, I'm glad you're not in office because you told the country a big old lie, and you caused me an embarrassment because black people were depending on you to be our savior. And ended up, you brought welfare reform in, and you put all the welfare moms on notice of getting terminated from their welfare checks. And they had to start going and having babies to actually get those benefits continuing. And I know what I'm talking about because I was a police officer working, and I saw the transition of what your effects have been, right? And then we had George Bush. Oh, excuse me, we had Al Gore get win, but we had okey-doke when Al Gore lost after being announced by the ABC News, Wow. And that's historical. So when Al Gore won, by the accounts, all of a sudden he lost in Florida, which actually was where his brother was headquartered. And they pulled a okey-doke. Didn't nobody challenge him. Didn't no one challenge the okey-doke. And I thought the okey-doke was just Muhammad Ali boxing. But okey-doke in politics was that sham religion, not sham religion, but that sham political vote, right, for the Mr. Bush, George Bush, our president, that had two terms. And then you had from him, then you had now you have Barack Obama came in and did an honorable job. And matter of factly, I was very impressed with him, that how he actually spoke so intelligently that people thought he was not black. Well, he had some black in him, and his father was from Kenya, and his mother was white. So he understood how to be privileged because he was raised not to be racist. But still, America didn't accept him. In his first address, they says, "You lie," as he made an historic opening to address the assembly of the all the leaders, the you know, what you call the House of Representatives and the Senators. The first words after the President Barack Obama started to comment was, "You lie." I says, "Wow." Now that's like, okay, that's something that's like treason. Let me say that. So if it's possible, I'm going to ask Mr. Donald Trump, would you go back and would you take your authority and arrest that person who said that word, "You lie"? Because we don't need people ruining our democracy with ignorant behavior, including yourself. Now, anyone who's in politics, you have to be very knowledgeable that people are looking at your behavior more than what you say. What you say only proves who you are. So watch closely how you act, especially when it comes to impressing young people, because they're so vulnerable, so vulnerable, so sad to see them disappear from this productive life because they don't have any role models that are addressing them. But in any event, hold a second, please. Have it up. I'm on a blog with you. I have to talk with you later. I'll call you later. What I want to say is that I have, like, say about maybe 10 minutes left here, and I'm going to not go the full length of the 8 o'clock 2-hour window, because I'm looking for this next 2 weeks to finish, and then I'll be having interviews with people who are both living and those with knowledge of those who have passed, where we can have a real conversation. So remember, the motto is, let's get serious and have a real conversation. Because if we're not going to get serious and have a real conversation, I don't see how we're going to have a real nation. It's going to be based upon some fictitious behavior, and I don't want to be fictitious about anything. I don't even want a fictitious name in my business, right? I want to be right up front in everything I say, everything I do. I'm an American. I'm a former police officer, and I know there's a level of integrity that I swore when I became a police officer to protect and serve against all wrong, against anybody. So I really will stand up for you, or I'll stand up against you if you do wrong. We can't tolerate any impropriety from anybody. So if you steal something, you're going to go to jail. If you kill somebody, you're going to go to prison. And if you have any respect for yourself, you'll jump off in the water and commit suicide so we don't have to see you for your ignorance. Okay? So in any event, I'm almost ready to sign off this show. There's 10 minutes left. And I'm going to just see what I can come up with here. Just a few things, notes. Let me just look at a couple of notes and see. Okay, oh, I got it. Okay, so we're planning this telethon for January 5, 2019, in National Telethon for Dr. George Washington Carver. And he was given a federal holiday in 1945 by Congress that designated January 5 as a federal day of recognition that was passed under a public law 290. and was signed into law by President Harry S. Truman, that designated January 5, all federal buildings would fly flags half staff. So today I've had some great news. And so I met with by phone with a guy by the name of Dewan Muhammad, who is a music producer and an extraordinary talent playing saxophone. And he actually produced music with Quincy Jones. And so he told me in our conversation today that he would be with me. And so we're going to talk about the strategy. And we're also planning an event when I get to California for a pre-launch fundraiser that's going to go toward monies for the telethon that's going to happen in 2019, January 5, 6, and 7. That will be a Saturday, Sunday, and Monday date. And so that event is going to be coordinated between myself, and I spoke to Barbara Lee's office, Congresswoman Barbara Lee's office, and I also spoke to my friends in San Francisco who actually are tied to the City Hall of San Francisco, and that includes Willie Brown, that includes Miss Diane Feinstein, Miss Polinsky, I think her name right now. But anyway, she's a very pretty lady. She's actually a really outspoken lady. Name slips me right now. But in any event, I met her before. So we're going to have them as well as other political people. And we're not looking, Ann Pelosi, we're not looking for any politician. We're looking for Americans who know how to work together so we don't divide this country and go into a civil war like we had when America in the 18 or 17, when that slavery episode was ending, that war went on where eventually the North won and the South had to submit and take off their pants and show their behinds that they learned a lesson. Too bad we didn't spank them because they're still in effect right now. So here's the deal. So the telethon goal is to raise $1 billion over a 20-year period, beginning 2019, January 5th, and ending in 2038, that's $50 million a year. Now, we want to help young people who are all American be beneficiaries, and the beneficiaries are program services that we hope to offer with your support. And they include, say, K-12 education, STEM, which is science, technology, engineering and math. They also include ending homelessness in America for families and young people who are affected. And we also include in there those students, mainly African-American students, who are going to the HBCU colleges, historic black colleges and universities, and those also going to some of the private and public universities like UCLA, Harvard, Stanford, et cetera, who really are there and starving, literally starving, not having money because of the economy that we are in, is really a depressed economy, unless you've got privileged skin and you know the bankers and you know my friend Donald Trump, then you can get all the kind of money you want. But if you don't know any of those contacts, you better get in line for your welfare. And so we want to help in this situation by providing support through the Alms Foundation, which I founded, and we'll be making an announcement formally. So stay tuned. So we'll definitely will be updating you. And let me give you my number again so you can reach me anytime you want to, 24/7, 365. Call me or email. Call me at area code 650, number of 921-5131, or you can call 650 again, area number of 630-0063. Let me end that confusion. Both area codes are 650. The first number is 921-5131. The second number is 630-0063. And of course, my email is Dr. Samuel, drsamwell@gmail.com. No period, no, just one string. And I'm going to like to just kind of sing this little song to you that I wrote for our young people so we can put a connection to them in terms of understanding who God is. So the song is called I Try to Be a Star. I won't sing it in a melodic, I'll sing it in some monotone, but it says, I tried to be a star, but I didn't get very far. I pretended to be a saint, but my friends told me, man, you ain't. After years of struggle and taking double, I finally came to realize I needed something more. I prayed, the Creator opened up the door. The first thing he did was make me strong. And now I know that I belong on earth, so I can give a little more. That's why he opened up the door. It's peace on us if we believe that all together we can achieve. He made the earth. He made the sun. He made us all to grow as one. We got to save our children. Take the time to train your mind to see the signs. Don't ignore them. God is one. And in my last closure here, I have about maybe four minutes left. I want to say this. Again, this is Modern Day Achievers Life Success Radio that's sponsored by Reality Books, publisher of the American classic Booker T. Washington and the Black Revolution. So we'll be signing off, and we'll speak to you next week, or actually Wednesday if you do call, because we'll have a different program that we'll be addressing. And don't be afraid. We all take showers, and we know what time it is. It's time to get busy. Assalamu alaikum.
Copy of Booker T. Washington and the Black Revolution, send a text message to 706-399-5006. Again, 706-399-5006. Be sure to add your name in the text message and how many copies of the book that you would like to order. The books are $20 each, plus $5 for postage and mailing. So be sure to order your copy today, and we will get in touch with you to make arrangements for payment for your order. The number again is 706-399-5006.